Welcome to today's program. Today's radio service that we will have today live. Glad to have you tuning in here. This is the 22nd day of July. July is almost gone. We have one more Friday this month, and then it will be over. We enter the month of August. Summer is moving right on by. So enjoy your summer. Enjoy the warm weather. Granted, we're having some pretty warm weather, and of course, the lies are being spread too about the global warming and the climate change and climate change big bill that has to be entered in and stopping people from sanity and bringing in a bunch of insanity. But yeah, that's what's going on today. Here, let's open up with some news. Thanks for tuning in today. 47 House Republicans just sold out marriage yesterday. The bill would force the federal government to recognize any definition of a marriage that a state might come up with. So that means 47 Republicans think that you can marry a dog if you want to, or a man marry a woman, and someone marries a crocodile, really? Yeah, well, that's the craziness that is out there in a world that the devil seems to be dominating, but he's not, but he seems to be. He doesn't win. He's already defeated, by the way. Merriam-Webster Dictionary updates the definition of female to include gender identity. So female can be a male or a female or whatever, non-binary. In New York, Reverend Jim Hurdon, remains steadfast after being the firebombing of the pregnancy center, despite not even a call or money or help from the New York state government. Yeah, he said, while New York Attorney General Letitia James is asking Google to wipe us off the map, he said, so that no woman can find us, so that they can't come and get help if they want to get help and not get an abortion. So there's an all-out attack on crisis pregnancy pro-life centers in New York State. And, of course, they want to shut them down so that women cannot even get help and cannot even find an alternative to having an abortion. So pray for that, and pray for that nationwide, that they will not be able to prevail in Jesus' name. Instead, the Lord Jesus will allow these little ones to come forth. Now, Israel Lemus is a walking miracle. He's a Texan. He lives in Texas, and he says it's 100% God, he says. That's right, a Texas man with a brain tumor given 2 months to live is still alive today after 6 years. He says, the first thing I do every morning is thank God, and the last thing I do every night before going to sleep is thank God. So he is thanking God for his life, and we ought to thank God for our life. And we ought to thank God every morning, whether we had a brain tumor in the past or not, whether God healed us of a brain tumor or some other thing or nothing at all, but still we need to thank God, because he is the one that's keeping us alive. His angels encamp round about us, and the angels of the Lord taking care of God's children. So thank God. I thank him every day. Flight attendant says, I give Jesus all the glory. Flight attendant who was fired by Southwest Airlines over her pro-life beliefs. She was against abortion, and she took a stand against abortion. And so she finally wins the case and was awarded $5 million in damages. Wow. Well, that's amazing, isn't it? So praise the Lord that they will lose $5,000 for trying to shut her down and get rid of her for taking a stand on abortion for life, instead of going in with the party line of kill babies and stuff like that. Well, Leah Thomas, as Woman of the Year award, has been given a Woman of the Year award, is more of the leftist war on women. Because Leah is not a woman, it's a man. Leah Thomas is a man. And yet they gave him an award for Woman of the Year. Right. That's degrading to women. And a war on women by feminists and the left. I mean, Satan's attempt to pervert anything normal and the way it was created. It's terrible, isn't it? You know, there's enough a war on women in Arab countries. You know, I was talking to someone who had an Arab father this week and telling me how that their mother went over there and I guess they had her over there in that country as well, and she lived over there for a while, and the mother, you know, was so subdued, couldn't even drive a car, and that was before they allowed women to drive a car, which happened a couple of years ago. They started allowing women to drive cars, but anyway, they finally said enough of this, and they got a divorce. Of course, he was a Muslim. And so they got a divorce, and she came back to the United States and had so much anxiety over learning to drive again after 10 years of not driving. It's terrible. And told me that her mother died so young. It's just a tragedy. So, the war on women is over there, too, and the war on women in a different way is over here, and it's not right. But anyway, that's an ungodly world that we live in. Thieves steal relic of Jesus' blood that is said to contain the blood of Christ, and they return it after becoming, quote, spooked and fearful of keeping such a revered object that they returned it to where they stole it from. I wonder what happened that they got afraid. 15-year-old is arrested for shooting down a United Methodist Church pastor in Tennessee in a carjacking from the pastor's home. Now, I don't know if the pastor was saved or not, because United Methodist Church, a lot of them aren't saved anymore. So, but anyway, terrible that this pastor was shot down by a 15-year-old trying to steal the car. Yeah, so pray for them. Pray that if the family's not saved, they will get saved. Because you don't know anymore about the United Methodist Church because they have so compromised in their stand. Kamala Harris, speaking out of her ignorance and stupidity again, says supporting abortion does not require anyone to abandon their faith. Hello? If you have faith in Jesus, faith in the Lord, and born again, I think that if you get in agreement with killing babies, then you've just abandoned your faith to some degree. That's right. Maybe you walk away knowingly from your faith, but if you got an agreement with the murder of little innocent children, then something's wrong there. You got to question what kind of faith does this person have. Right, if they do such a thing as be in agreement. So I don't think that this person knows what they're talking about saying that. Obviously not, just another ridiculous leftist deceived statement. While Michigan Governor Whitmer blocks adoption efforts so that instead of abortion, the children can be adopted. So she blocks that and vetoes are canceled. That's what veto means. They cancel more than 21 million or 2.1 million in funding for pro-life women programs. So in other words, she blocks that too. She stops that and vetoes it and not going to be able to help these women who could get funding and help to have their child. Instead, just kill them all. That's what she wants to do. Just keep killing all those innocent little babies. Wow. Well, the good news is over 32 million Bibles were distributed worldwide in 2021. Hallelujah for that. A new report shows that over 32 million Bibles were distributed worldwide in 2021. So the Bibles are out there, but are the people reading their Bibles that they get? That's the question. And if they are reading it, is there someone to teach them and help them along to get born again Now, granted, you get born again just by reading your Bible and finding out what it says and obeying what it says. But sometimes people need a little help, too. So the Bible says the workers are few, but the fields are ripe for the harvest. So pray the Lord God of the harvest to send more workers into the harvest fields of this world so that more can be saved. And we certainly agree with that and pray for that, too, that there'll be more harvesters that will go forth, the workers that will go forth and share their faith with people and help them get born again. And so thank you for tuning in this Friday as we have a live service here together with you, and pray that you be blessed tonight by it as we go, and we will pray that you will be blessed and encouraged tonight, and that the Lord will speak to you as we speak on these topics that I believe I'm supposed to talk about here tonight. I remember I did a message on this years ago, but it wasn't this message, but I did teach a message on overcoming the religious spirit when I was on another man's program years ago. But we want to talk it tonight so that you can learn about this. And of course, this is a different message altogether than that one, but it's still on the same topic. So we will cover this so we get rid of some of these evil spirits that perhaps were in our family when we were born into it, and perhaps attached to us when we came out of the womb or even in the womb. Those things that we need to get rid of, my friend. If it's there, we need to get it out and get rid of it. We need to expose it tonight and overcome it and be victorious over it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I hope all of you are all right. And yes, we all have our battle this week. It's all been I'm sure that probably none of us haven't, not one of us hasn't faced some battle this week, spiritual battle, spiritual conflict. I know that I have faced some, and by the grace of God, we overcome. And by the grace of God, you will overcome. Amen. So let's go to the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another time that we can be together here and share these things of the kingdom with your people who listen to this broadcast either now or later. Father, we thank you for those listening. And thank you that you will minister to them encouragement today and speak to them and show them and teach them things that they need to know, Father, for your glory. And we thank you for working in our lives every day, Father, that you said you would do that until your return. And so, Lord, we appreciate that work of grace in our lives today, Father. We appreciate your work in our lives. You're changing us, making us over into the image that you would have us to be, the image of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for doing these good things in our lives. Thank you for spiritual breakthroughs in our lives, Father. We thank you for answered prayers in our lives, Lord, and areas that seem like they haven't changed, but they will change in Jesus' name. You will answer those prayers, Father, and we do believe that. And we do hold fast to that in faith, Lord. And we rebuke the attacks that have been on the people of God this week. We rebuke those devils that have tried to prevail against us and weary the saints this week. And we pray, Lord, for great grace on all of us, Lord, to continue the good fight of faith, Father, and to continue to prevail against the powers of darkness. Because we are end time overcomers, Father. We're living in these latter days, and you called us to be overcomers in these latter days. And we praise you for that. Praise you that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of of God, the word of our testimony, which is the word of the Lord. We thank you that we have the word in our mouth and in our hearts, Father. And I thank you that we're growing in the word, growing in grace, growing in truth. And the demons will not prevail against us in Jesus' name, but we prevail against the demon. We prevail against the fallen angel. We prevail against Satan in Jesus' name. And greater is he that is in our spirit than he that is in the world, that he that has attached to our soul. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And we overcome them. And we thank you that we overcome them. And we thank you that the devil's under our feet, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage those who need encouragement today, Father. That you would help them walk in the way that you have for their life, Father. That you would direct their path, Father. That you would lead them in the ways of righteousness, Father. We pray for every Christian home and marriage, Father, that you would minister in these marriages, Father. That you, if, even if one of the spouses is an unbeliever, Father, we pray for that unbelieving spouse that they would get born again, that their eyes would be open and the eyes of their understanding would be released, Father, that they would begin to see the truth, Father, and they would embrace you and receive you into their lives, Father. I pray for a couple who have asked for prayer for their grandchildren to be able to come and spend some time with them up on their property this summer, Father. They take a week or two off, and they're praying that the mother who has not been saved yet, and Lord, we pray for the mother to be saved and to release those grandchildren to go be with their grandparents for a week or when they go spend time getting away from it all on their property, Father. We pray that you release salvation to that woman, that she will get saved, Father. And we thank you that the family would be reunited with all of them being saved, the whole family being in the house of the Lord. We thank you for doing that work in that family, Father, and for the saved ones in that family, that this daughter will get saved, that she will get born again in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke the lies of the devil. We rebuke the blindness off of this woman's eyes, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. And, Lord, if there be lost loved ones in your family, in the people that are listening family, we pray for their families too, Lord, that the lost loved ones would get saved, Father, that would get right with you, Father. And if they backslidden, they would return and commit their lives to you afresh and anew, Father, that you would do a work in them, Father, and bring them home to the Father, Father, these wayward ones. And, Lord, if they've never been saved, Lord, bring them to salvation. We pray, Father, that you would open the eyes of their understanding and the blinders would fall off their eyes in Jesus' name, and they would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise you for that today as well, Father. We praise you for working in their lives. We praise you, Lord, for saving each and every one of them, Father. We pray, Lord, that, Lord, you do miracles and signs and wonders in our lives, Father, that each of us would experience miracles, signs, and wonders, Father. And we worship you for that and thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. And thank you and commit this time to you. We cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We cover everything that pertains to us with the blood of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for having your way tonight in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. 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 So, yeah, we went in a store this week and noticed that there was no frozen anything, and the shelves were empty. There was no meat. The shelves were all empty. And this is a grocery store in a small town in Montana that I'm surprised. But my wife began to investigate and talking to people and found out that they took everything and dumped it out of the freezers. And so is somebody going around the country and paying off these grocery store owners and corporations who own them? Because I also heard that it happened in Billings as well, which is a large town in Montana, the largest one in Montana, actually. In Billings, supposedly, they dumped all the stuff from the freezers of Sam Club and Walmart. So I don't know. But anyway, it's very strange to go in this small town store and talk with someone that said the owner ordered it, so they had to do it. So who paid off the owner to do it? Who told the owner to do it? So when there was nothing at all wrong with the food. Nothing at all. The freezer hadn't failed. Nothing was wrong. But they were told to do it. So who's going around the country doing that? Is it happening in other towns, other states besides here? I don't know. Anyway, let's get into the Word of God today as we, because this is the most important thing we can have here. Jesus and more of Jesus, right? Overcoming the power of the enemy. So we thank you, Lord God, for this ministry now as we go into this, overcoming the religious spirit, defeating the religious spirit and discerning the religious spirit. Whatever title you have, you that they're all pertinent to this message. And we need to understand today that the prevalence of lies in our society, that whole thing with grocery stores, there's some lying going on there, I'm sure of it. Don't know but exactly what it is, but there's certainly some lies. But lies are in every part of our society. And I've said it before in the scripture in 1 John, it is so true. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's right. They lie, tell lies in wickedness, and they lie in wickedness, right? The whole world lieth in it. It lays in a bed of wickedness as well. So, and we don't want to be blind to the reality of pervasive lies throughout the world system of darkness. We don't want to be blind to it. We don't want to be ignorant of this. We don't want to go through life just believing the lies and being deceived as so many other people are in this world that we live in. Can you imagine living your whole life and believing a whole lot of lies and never even knowing that they were lies? Can you imagine what that would be like? Well, many people have done that. They've lived their whole lives and never known the truth because the lies have been so embedded within the societies at different times throughout the centuries, where lies have been so propagated upon the populace that they believed them. And the devil is the master propagator of lies. And they're everywhere. And if you would just put on the glasses of Holy Spirit discernment, you can see, like in that movie, They Live. You know, I'm not recommending a movie, certainly not, because there's profanity in it, but it's about a man who found glasses, and when he read a sign, it said one thing, but when he put the glasses on, he read something else that was not good about being controlled and obeying whatever they were told to do and a lot of other things. And he also saw people when he put the glasses on as demonic-looking aliens when he put on those glasses. He got the true view of things, in other words, in that particular movie, when he put on those glasses that he found. And really, if we could put on glasses and see all that was not visible to the naked eye, you would be appalled at the evil lies in this world. I'm certain of that. In fact, we would all be appalled because we still have lies that we believe and don't know better than. And we're all learning, and we should continue learning. So that as we gain more truth, the lies are exposed more and more. So we need to have the Holy Spirit glasses on because the church has been infiltrated. The church has been infiltrated as well by evil spirits, and they're a kind of spirit that Jesus exposed in the Bible, in the Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees, the lawyers, the leaders of Israel, the religious leaders of the time. We're under the control of these types of spirits. So what kind of spirits are they? Well, they're religious spirits, of course. That's what we're talking about tonight. One of the things, anyway. These spirits are very deceptive. And they can keep a person just searching all their lives under this spirit to supposedly get to the place where they're supposed to get to and finally go to heaven or go to nirvana or go someplace. These spirits so deceptive that they control a person all their life. And these spirits are able to continue unrecognized and undealt with all a person's life. And they need to be exposed, folks, and they need to be cast out. But that is only happening to a small degree, a small segment of people believe in deliverance and believe it and discover these truths. It's not to the level the Lord would have it to be, that's for sure. I know the Lord would have more to be free, more to see the truth than what is. Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So he wants more to see. And it's very sad and very disappointing to watch sincere Christians be under the influence and even the control of such spirits of these types that are in operation today. But we need to face it, folks. These devils are in the churches today. They're in the church, and I mean, where a better place to be? Because who is the enemy, the biggest enemy of Satan, of course, is God. But who's the next enemy would be Christians, born-again Christians. He hates us. So why not infiltrate the churches and set up spirits that imitate God and imitate a relationship with God? Not that these people are not all, that all of them are not born again. Certainly there's a lot of born-again people who are carrying religious spirits around with them, or a group of religious spirits around with them. So certainly it's not that all of them are not saved, but some of them aren't. They just have religious spirits that are imitating God and imitating a relationship with God. But others are saved, but they don't know better, and they live a life under the control of religious spirits. So the church is a place where it's easy to snare and trick Christians, and that's what they do. Okay? This spirit will keep Christians hurt and wounded as well. And so we need to expose this spirit more than ever in the churches. And by exposing it and its operation, we can begin to overcome it. Because if we don't know about it and we don't expose it, if it isn't exposed, then we're just going to continue to be ignorant and perish for lack of knowledge, as so many do. So, yeah, it will use other Christians to wound Christians as well. It'll use other Christians to stab other Christians in the back and hurt other Christians and wound them. This religious spirit working with guilt and performance, a performance-based type of Christianity, and the fear of man are probably the two most difficult battles for Christians to overcome, and many never fully overcome them either. And so Here's an example of religious spirit. A Christian teenager tried to commit suicide, and a Christian friend calls up and says, "Boy, God is sure trying to teach you something and get your attention." Hey, God didn't have anything to do with that. God doesn't kill people. God doesn't tell people to kill themselves. He doesn't commit suicide and make people commit suicide. But see, religious people, they're like this. They're judgmental. And they're quick to see another Christian's faults and failures and problems as a result of they're not performing correctly for God or not living up to the expectation of the group or the denomination or the local church or whatever. See, they are not religiously correct. They're not saying that you are religiously correct. Because you're not, see, because you're not living like they do and not acting like they do and performing like they perform. So you're not religiously correct. And not only do these people treat individuals this way, but they will treat whole churches that way, whole movements this way, and whole denominations, other denominations other than them that way, because it's not their way, right? Because their way is the right way, right? That they're right in their own eyes, and that's what a religious spirit will make you think, that you're right in your own eyes when you're wrong and you don't see it with your own eyes. See, religious spirit will be a substitute for the Holy Spirit, and it'll make you feel good about your condition as long as you're self-centered and prideful and self-seeking. These spirits will make you feel like you're just on the road to God, and you're just getting closer to God all the time, and He's so pleased with you, or they'll condemn you, and He's not pleased with you today, and they'll just manipulate your moods. They're very prevalent today. That's one thing you need to know. They're very prevalent today. And they're definitely under Satan's control and the demon's control, right? And remember when Adam ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the first result was they looked at themselves. They compared themselves among themselves and decided what about themselves? Oh, we're naked. Wow, I didn't know that. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says it's not good to compare yourself. For we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But what they do? What did they do in the garden? They compared themselves upon each other and said, oh, you're naked. I never noticed that before after they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because they were naked and they were unashamed and they thought that was just the way it was supposed to be and it had nothing to it. But see, self-centeredness is the poison of that fruit, and it's still a most very deadly poison today. They became self-centered, self-focused when they ate of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And, of course, the religious spirit operates through that self-centeredness and self-focusedness, focusing. See, the Holy Spirit will always lead us into a life that is Jesus-centered, not self-centered. We need to know that. The religious spirit is always going to cause us to focus on ourselves and our performance and whether we do good or whether we feel good or whether we feel bad or whether we feel good. But when we don't measure up, we're tormented by these spirits. And this is wrong. This is a lie. This is a demonic thing. It's a spirit that's working you over. And you may think it's the Holy Spirit. Many that I've ministered to over the years have thought that it was the Holy Spirit saying they were not going to heaven or they were all being condemned and thought it was the Holy Spirit condemning them when it was devils, religious devils doing it. So many Christians have religious devils and they think that God is talking when it's a demon talking. 2 Corinthians 10:17, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. If we have the approval of the Lord, that's all we need, in other words. Doesn't matter what you think of yourself and your performance. But what does God think, see? But see, the devil wants you to focus on your performance. He wants to focus on thinking about that God is not pleased with you when you mess up, and he is pleased when you do good. And see, they've got you living out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, see, and that's a religious spirit. See, we don't become free of sin in order to abide in him and be accepted by Jesus. But by abiding in Jesus, we are set free from sin's dominion, abiding in his grace. See, sin can no longer have dominion over us in grace. But that's not what the religious spirits will tell you. See, they've got you living under the dominion of your sin. When you do sin, they will call you to be condemned. They will cause you to feel bad about yourself. They'll cause you to think that God is disappointed in you and you failed God. And you're going to have to do some penance or you're going to have to do something to make him pleased with you again or that you really didn't sin and you don't have any sin. I've heard of some who say that they don't sin at all. They're not ever sin. They don't ever sin. So there's another deception. He that says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. See, remember that scripture in 1 John also. But there are Christians like that that say they don't sin. Right. Okay. So our acceptance in the Lord is based on one thing only. What is it? Jesus. Well, what about me? Well, you're not in the picture as the center. Jesus is the center. It's Jesus that was sacrificed for our justification, right? So it's not whether you've been divorced or not divorced, whether you've been to jail or whether you stole something or were a thief or whether you killed people in a war or whether you lied at work to somebody about something or whatever. The religious spirit will make you think so, though, but God, see, he don't care. Because he loves you and accepts you and receives you, period. What does the Bible say about the blood? The blood cleanses from all sin, right? So all sin is all sin. And so he doesn't care that you sin. He cares that the blood of Jesus cleansed you from all sin. That's what matters. He's not condemning you for your sins of the past, not that you should go and sin. The Bible talks about that too. Should we sin because of grace? Should we sin because we're forgiven? No. We shouldn't. But the point that you do sin sometimes doesn't condemn you, and he rejects you because of that. See, that's what we have to know. See, on what basis does he receive us? On the basis of what Jesus did on the cross, the basis of the shed blood of Jesus. That's what basis. You know, everyone listening here probably has some amount of a stronghold in this religious area, some amount, because, hey, you know, it's so prevalent. These spirits of religion have been operating so prevalently in the land for so long, for generations. They were operating at Jesus' time when he walked the earth. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says here, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know ye not your own self? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? It says, notice he doesn't say test your neighbor or test the church or your pastor, but know yourself. So let's look and see, and you test yourself to see if his spirit is operating in your life. Okay. So let's look at some signs of whether the Spirit of God is operating in our lives. Let's look at some signs, okay, to see whether this demonic spirit is operating in your life or whether the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Which one is it? What's going on here? Is that religious spirit in operation? Okay, let's look. The inability to take a correction or rebuke or instruction, especially from somebody that you might judge to be less of a Christian than you are or less spiritual than you are. If you can't take a correction, then, this is going to reveal how much pride is in you. Or do we have this humble spirit that we should have? If we can take correction, that means a lot. Some people cannot take correction, refuse to take any kind of correction whatsoever. A lot of husbands refuse to take correction from their wife. A lot of wives refuse to take correction from their husband, even though they're both Christians and God might be using one of them to correct them. And then again, it could just be nagging or picking on the other one too. So you have to discern, what is it, a religious spirit or is God speaking through my spouse? Proverbs 15:31. Let's go read it. 15:31, it says here, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. If you receive a reproof, you'll abide among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. See, if you refuse to be instructed, you despise your own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You will gain understanding if you listen to reproof. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Also, let's read verse 10. Same chapter 15 here. It says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Well, that's how serious it is to reject reproof and instruction. So number one is we notice that we can't take a correction, then look out, because the religious spirit is very likely in operation there. And we're walking around in pride. Number two, an attitude that says, I only listen to God and not to people. Okay, yeah, all right. So you don't think God talks to people? Come on now. Since God often speaks through people, this is serious self-deception going on, and it reveals a bunch of pride still being there, spirits of pride, and probably the religious spirit is there as well. See? Number three, an inclination to see more of what's wrong with other people and churches and ministries than what's right with them. Some people, that's all they do. They talk about what's wrong with this ministry, what's wrong with this bunch of Christians, what's wrong with this church, and what's wrong with the Christians in this denomination, and what's wrong with this, and then what's right. And John the Revelator saw Babylon from the valley, if you read Revelation, but when he was carried to a high mountain, he saw the New Jerusalem. See, if we're only seeing Babylon, it's because of where we're at. We're in a low place, a low valley, and we're seeing stuff in a valley. I mean, see, it's because of what influences our lives and our perspective if we're only seeing Babylon. But if you walk centered on Jesus, your eyes are going to be on what he's doing, not what man doing. What is high and lifted up is what your eyes are going to be on too. Your eyes are going to be, not that you'll be ignorant of all the devices of Satan and what he's doing here in Babylon and all that, in the world system, that is, the Babylonian world system of darkness. And the United States is not Babylon alone. Babylon alone, the whole ungodly world system is a system of Babylon, of confusion. And it's not just the United States, as some people teach. It's not just the United States. It's the whole world system is a Babylon. The whole ungodly world system is Babylon means confusion. And it's confusion because without God, people are confused. See? And they can't make right choices very much of the time. Because without God, what do they have? They're living in Babylon. They're living under the world system. And so it's confusion. And Christians get confused too because they partake of Babylon and they shouldn't be doing it, but how many are doing that? Yeah, so looking at Babylon too much, that's easy. That's easy to do. To live in that low valley of the world system of darkness is easy to do because after all, we're very in touch with the world system. We're very much a part of it. We were raised in it. Our families are in it. And yeah, how many of us live heavenly minded, spiritually minded most of the time? That we should be, but how many people really do that? See? So if we focus on it, yeah, it's a mess. It is a mess. As a Christian, we could see it's a mess. If we have any kind of discernment, any kind of vision at all of things, we could see, yeah, that Babylon, it's a mess. And lots of people are so focused on it that they're missing what Jesus is doing right now. See? And Jesus is doing something right now. He's got to not be outdone by Babylon. Come on. Really? You think he is? Think Jesus is going to be outdone by Babylon? You think he's not moving right now? You think he's not having some saves in the earth? He's not doing some things right now, major things, surprising things that will surprise people? Amen. He is. But so many people focus so much on Babylon, they don't see it. Yeah, Biden, he's bad. He's full of darkness and devils, and so are a lot of people who are in the government. But hey, wait a minute. What does the Bible say? This world is not our home. Duh. Is that right or not? We need to remember, saints, who we are. Who are we? We're strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners here to their system of the world, to this system of darkness. This system, it's not our home. And it will soon come to an end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This world system is going to soon come to an end. It's going to not continue forever. It's already been declared. The Word of God declares it. The Word of God is true. It cannot lie. God is not a man that he should lie. So if Jesus says it, it's happened. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. We're going to see it happen. Okay, the world system is coming down. Satan's system of darkness is coming down. It's being destroyed. It's not going to prevail. Okay? And we have authority over it while we're in it. So take that authority and walk in it. So it's soon going to come to an end. Babylon will not be eternal. It will not last forever. We must remember that. Hey, we got to remember, first of all, who we are. Secondly, where we're going. And thirdly, where we came from. Where did we come from? Our spirit was with God, and it came into this body. And now we live, and then we'll die in a body eventually and go be with Jesus, see? And while we're here, we're sons of the mighty God because we've been born again. If you've been born again, then you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got to remember who you are. Devil would have you forget who you are. His religious spirits would have you never really find out exactly who you are. They'll keep you in some form of religion rather than the form of relationship that you should be in with God. And knowing who and what you can do is important too, you know, who you are and what you could do. So, hey, it's coming to an end. Satan will not prevail. The devils and demons do not prevail. Praise God. There is a city, the city of God. God is bigger than devils and demons. Hallelujah. And yeah, we need to quit listening to the accuser. How many times do you listen to the accuser of the brethren while he accuses you? Well, you're not living up to it. You're not being the person of God that you're supposed to be. You're not doing what God wants. You're a bad person. There's so much wrong in your life, and you need to quit this and quit that, and you're not doing very good at that. And so we need to quit listening to the accuser of the brethren and the sister, because he's a liar and the father of them. The accuser works in so many believers today because they allow him to do that, because they're not aware that it's him. He comes disguised as an angel of light, a minister of God, a minister of righteousness, but it is a lie. The Bible says he's going to come that way. The Bible says he's going to come as a minister of righteousness. He's going to come as an angel of light, but he's an angel of darkness. He's not an angel of light, and he's not a minister of righteousness. He's a minister of death. Right? Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Those are all death manifestations there. And so he's a minister of death. He's a minister of darkness, and that's what he's coming to do. And we rebuke him right now in Jesus' name and cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper in Jesus' name. Hey, you got to declare it. You got to believe it. You got to talk like it's true, because it is true. See, we don't talk that way just to be talking that way. We talk that way because it's our reality, see, and it needs to be our reality, and we need to walk that way, think that way, talk that way, live that way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So quit listening to the accuser when he comes and visits you all the time. Don't listen. Shut him down. Okay? Shut him down. Shut him up. Amen. So, yeah, he lies so well that most people don't see the lies. They're tricked, deceived, and even confused about their relationship to the true Lord and Savior. Okay, let's read a scripture, Revelation 3, verse 12. Revelation 3, verse 12. It says here, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. My new name. Remember, you are the temple of God, and he has made and is making us a pillar in the temple of God, where we can live full of him and his power right now as well as forever. And we're not some little condemned, worthless being that must always just perform to please the Lord, because he is not pleased with us unless we perform as the devil tells us that we should. No, we're not going to let the devil tell us how to live our Christianity. We're going to let the Word of God tell us, and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, direct us, right? We don't need to be led around by some false angel of light, trying to appear as an angel of light or a minister of righteousness, which they're not. Hallelujah. They're angels of darkness and death, and we don't need to let them run our lives, okay? We are not condemned at all, folks. We are made accepted in the Beloved. That's what the Bible tells us. We're accepted in the Beloved, and we're a pillar in the temple. We're an overcomer, and overcomers have power, the power of God in them, the power to bring others to Jesus by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four, a way that you can tell that the religious spirit has been ministering to you, if you have an overwhelming guilt and sensing that you could never measure up to God's standards. You know, how many Christians live under overwhelming guilt at times? They feel overwhelmed by guiltiness and even condemnation. Many of them do. I know it from ministering to many who have. Much of Christians' poor self-image they have and worthless feelings they have about themselves stem from the religious spirit. It comes from the religious spirit. And we're always basing our relationship on our performance rather than, you know, his performance. That's what really matters. His performance on the cross 2,000 years ago, we shouldn't be basing it on our performance. Our performance is not what counts. It's his performance and us believing in his performance and resting in his performance, resting in the finished work of the cross. Amen. Jesus measured up for us, so you measure up because you're complete in him. you're in Christ Jesus, so you measure up to God. So don't believe those lies that say you can't measure up, you don't measure up, you're all did all this stuff wrong, and you know all the guilt that he's going to put on you. Don't let that overwhelming guilt and that feeling that you could never measure up to God's standard. That's a lie. He made us accepted in his standard already. We're already there, see? Quit trying to be what you already are, in other words. Quit trying to get in somewhere that you're already in, because you're already there, praise God, in Christ Jesus right now, see? Number five, pride in our spiritual maturity or spiritual discipline, especially when we compare ourselves to others. See, this is another sign that the religious spirit's been ministering to you or is in you already, or you got a spirit, a religious spirit. Yeah. So many Christians are right here. In fact, some delight in comparing themselves with others and feeling superior to other Christians and finding faults in other Christians so that they feel better about themselves. Well, I don't do what they did. I don't act like they did. I'm above them spiritually. I got more of God than they do. Yeah. They look for fault and leaders because they have to think they're more spiritual than the pastor and his family and to go to a church and then they seek to impress the other people with their spirituality, even to get a following after them. Well, this is a mess. Sometimes there are women who have a weak relationship with their home with their husbands, and they usually seek to be intimate with other women, finding even a husband in the other women rather than in their husband. And maybe the husband is all messed up, and maybe there's something wrong with the man, but he's not right with God or something. But why are they like that? Well, my husband just doesn't understand me, you know. And so, it's also a religious spirit. And these types are very judgmental, legalistic, critical. They have a log in their eye, but, hey, they're busy themselves looking for the little speck in someone else's eye, the little tiny, tiny thing. A little tiny little speck there, just a little tiny little dab there of something. They're busy condemning and judging that rather than facing that, hey, I've got a big old log in my eyes. See, the religious spirit will cause you to have that. They will question authority to cause you to doubt. Right? A have-to prayer life, number six, a have-to prayer life. Oh, my. They get relief when their prayer time is over, these kinds. When they have a religious spirit. Hey, we should never feel relief when our conversation is over with the Lord, the one we love, the one we have given our lives to. I talk to him all day long throughout the day at different times. It's not a have to, it's a want to. I want to talk to the Lord. I'm not, oh, hurry up and get done with God. Hurry up and get finished with him. Yeah. No, that's just proof there's a religious spirit in there because it's not real to you. It's not something that's really an intimate relationship with God. I mean, it's just something, well, I got to do this, so I better pray. Really? I want to pray. I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to get in his presence. I want to sense his power and glory being upon me and being overwhelmed with his power and glory. Number seven, doing things to be noticed by other people, especially other Christians. This is a symptom of idolatry, of fearing people more than we honor and reverence the Lord. I mean, this is a religious spirit, and this religion is to serve people rather than God when you're operating that way. Oh, yeah, and we've seen that in operation, too, and, yeah, it's sad. So we have to be in, you know, and I'm saying we are, but I'm saying many Christians are in pride so much so that they don't even, they fail to see their condition because they've been under the control of a religious spirit of pride. Yeah, there's religious pride, folks. That is a spirit I've cast out of many people over the years. Number eight. It says being repulsed by emotionalism. Well, who else was repulsed by emotionalism and it cost her big time? Can you think of somebody in the Bible that was repulsed by emotionalism? By, in other words, by being emotional about their walk with God, that her husband was? Michael, remember? David, when he danced before the Lord, and Michael didn't like it, and even criticized him about it, and mocked him about it. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. It says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Well, that's a dangerous thing to do, don't you think? Think that maybe, oh, she was a good Jewish woman, right? Thought she was a believer in Judaism at the time, but some religious spirit was ministering to her, obviously. You know, this could be weeping before the Lord, or joy before the Lord, or falling under the power of the Lord, or dancing before the Lord like David was, or shouting, or speaking in tongues before the Lord, or clapping your hands unto the Lord with a loud noise, or great joy, just overwhelming joy, or even wailing before the Lord, and raising your hands before the Lord, and someone with a religious spirit fights you for it, or they'll criticize you for it, or they will, you know, mock you for it, or they say, that ain't God, you know, that, why are they acting so emotional? Huh? Yeah, it cost her. It cost this woman. I remember reading about one of the great revivals of history, the Jonathan Edwards meetings. Some of the toughest men, the most rebellious men, would fall on the ground, shaking under the power of God. And they would stay there for hours, up to 24 hours. Some of them stayed on the ground under the power of God. And people, of course, would criticize that today. But it cost Michael, seriously, it cost her. What does it say in verse 20, or the same chapter 6 here? It says verse 20, it said, then David returned to bless his household after bringing in the ark. And Michael, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaid of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. Look, I mean, that's hateful, isn't it? And David said unto Michael, it was before the Lord which chose me, before thy father, and before all his house. I mean, are you seeing what just happened here? What a mockery took place here. And the demons were talking through Michael's very, very tongue. That's what was going on here. You could see the demon just manifesting here. Just manifesting as she said those things, those hateful things to him. So we're reading on here. David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, and them shall I be had, and of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. She was childless because of that, letting those religious spirits take over and speak to her like that. She was childless. She never had a child. And see, that's under the law, of course, but, you know, a lot of things happen to people today, too, so because they've opened themselves up to demons. Number 9, the tendency to be suspicious or to oppose any move of God that is different from what you might be used to, anything different from what you're used to, or people of God who are different than you might be, or this religious person might be. Well, you know, what did the disciples say? He said, hey, there's somebody over here casting out demons, and they're not with us. And Jesus, should we go forbid them? And Jesus said, no, if they're not against us, they're for us. But they may not be like us. They might be not doing it exactly like we're doing it. But if they're not against us, they're for us and they're with us. So quit condemning them just because they may not be doing it exactly the way you're doing it. Or they may not be acting just exactly the way you're acting. I'd be careful about that, you know, when you say things like that, you know. I mean, a lot of times it's a pride thing. Well, you better watch out for those people over there. I wouldn't go to that church. They're talking in tongues all the time and casting out demons over there. I wouldn't go over there. See, this is a pride or a jealous spirit or an envious spirit or just a control spirit to keep people from having anything to do with the real move of God. Got to be on guard. Oh, God wouldn't do anything like that unless he went first through us and our group, our denomination. We know what's best. We know what's right. We know what's real Christianity. Oh, yeah, well, you got a religious spirit of pride operating there. You got something going on there that definitely is not the spirit of the Lord in manifestation. Yeah. You don't know what's best. How about Father knows what's best? Wouldn't that be better? And Father can bring a lot of surprises into our lives sometimes that we might not have expected to happen that way. I've had him do that with me and brought surprises into my life and said, wow, that was God. And I didn't expect it that way. I didn't expect him to show up that way. But hey, as long as he shows up, that's what matters to me. Jesus, show up. And the last one is number 10, the overreaction to carnality in the church. Oh, yeah, when they see people just being real sinful, then they're going to overreact to that. And the truth is that there's probably far more worldliness and carnality in God's people and a whole lot less of the Holy Spirit than even the most critical person has ever seen. Because most Christians are very carnal today. Most Christians are very fleshly and live in the flesh a whole lot today. I remember when I was a new Christian, I was devastated one time when I went to come to a Christian leader's home whom I respected, and they had carnal, worldly, ungodly TV program blaring away. I mean, in those days, I wouldn't even own a TV. I didn't even own a TV for 10 years after I became a Christian. You know, I thought, my, really, you know, but no, but this critical type will judge, you know, Christians, and they will want to annihilate those who may still be 60% carnal, but hey, they used to be 95% carnal 6 months ago, and they're making great progress. But see, the religious person, well, look at them. Look what they're doing. We need to confront them, get them out of the church, or they'll talk around about them around their back, stab them in the back, and all kinds of stuff going on there, see, instead of really helping them and praying for them, and they'll get in there and bringing them on their road to spiritual growth, see? But no, we can't do that. We don't want to get polluted by them. Oh, yeah? Well, Jesus, he ministered to prostitutes, right? And fornicators and adulterers and thieves and liars and robbers and all kinds of people. Really? Yeah. Because he didn't have a religious spirit. 2 Corinthians 11:3. Let's go read that. It says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Salvation is simple. Deliverance is simple. Faith is simple. It's a simplicity. It's not complicated. But religious spirits will complicate everything. Make it some hard thing to attain, some difficult thing to get to. See, Satan and his subtleties and spirits would attempt to dilute the power of the gospel and to bring confusion by having us add to it all these different works and ways that we have to do things. And And this was how Eve was deceived. This is what the religious bit is doing in the church today. That's what we're seeing. So accept your salvation as a gift and accept your brothers and sisters as a gift too, and thank God for them. Quit making the Christian life hard and complicated by yielding to these spirits. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But the demon wants you to, you know, to complicate that and then to confuse that. It's, oh, man, I'm just under such a heavy yoke right now, just a heavy burden. My load is so heavy, I don't know how I'm going to make it. It's just so hard. And, oh, my, is that really the Bible? Jesus's main problem with the religious people, this same very same spirit was behind them then, and he is still in the church today, still operating in the churches today, still operating through people who call themselves Christians today. So we need to examine ourselves and grow up into Christ Jesus, and we need to lay aside the religious devils that even many of us grew up with. And thought that was God, but it was not God. And maybe some of you still think it's God today, but it's not God at all. It was a religious spirit then, and it is a religious spirit now, even though you may be saved now, but you're still carrying that thing around. So, yeah, you thought it was God, and maybe some of it may have been God, but demons came into to twist it and pollute that which, you know, was pure and holy. And isn't that what the devil does? He tries to come in and pollute that which is pure and holy. He comes and try to pollute our walk with Jesus that's a pure and holy and true walk. But he wants to pollute it. He wants to twist it. He wants to bring in some type of performance where it becomes a performance-based walk with God rather than a grace walk with God. So, hey, today we need to understand the prevalence of lies. Because they're just everywhere, and they many times work through the religious spirit, and we got to be aware of that. See, Jesus is calling us back to that which is pure and holy and undefiled today. The church must become the glorious church in the earth and a manifestation of Jesus Christ in humanity, people full of Jesus living through them. Right? And I realize that it's going to only be a small percentage that gets born again. The Bible says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the road that leads to life, right? So, and few there be that find it. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but still, it's basically what it says. And so, here we need to quit being afraid of persecution right now. You know, I think demons have made sure that persecution strikes fear into the majority of Christians today so that they just back off and they're quiet and they're afraid to speak up and speak out. And yeah, we should speak up and speak out. Speak up to heaven and speak up about heaven. And the Lord Jesus who sits on the throne, we must not be afraid to bind demons to the faces of these evil people. Not be intimidated by the faces of people and their ways of darkness and the demons who inhabit people. Just bind them. Bind them, get it face and bind them. You can do it out loud if you have to. They don't know what you're doing, but the demons know what you're doing, and they will be subdued. They will be stopped. Just bind them. In Jesus' name, I bind you spirits from operating. I bind you from controlling this person. I bind you from your wickedness. You stop it in the name of Jesus. See, most people don't even know the level of control that demons have over them. I remember I told a lady this week that, hey, I became a Christian, and God helped me. Jesus helped me. And by his power, I quit smoking many years ago as a brand new Christian. I quit smoking, she didn't know what to say. See, demons can be bound just by speaking powerfully the truth in their face. And the power of the gospel. And I just spoke the power of what Jesus did or what Jesus could do right there in her life. See? So we can't be ashamed to speak up today, folks. We can't be ashamed. And many are today. Many are ashamed. Many are afraid. And I believe it's going to increase as the corrupt government and others attempt to subdue the church and silence the church today and silence the power of God, subdue the power of God, where it's not allowed in the earth. But all the more reason to be bold and to cast out and bind and break the powers of demons now. Now is the time to awaken and engage our enemy in spiritual conflict. We are God's army. We are a mighty army, and we need to take up all the power of heaven available right now and use it and be bold with it. Amen. Now is the time that we were born to live in. Now is the time that we were born for, folks. And there is a calling of Zion right now. God is calling Zion. Yes, he is. There's a sound in the earth. It's the sound of an awakening mighty army of God, Zion, the overcomer, the church, aflame with God's glory and fire, so much so that the earth will soon shake and take notice and say, they may be ignorant and unlearned, but hey, they have been with Jesus. They have somebody in their life, somebody in them that's making a powerful impact here. And right now, I believe we're in the stirring up and the shaking of God's people stage. We are. And in this process, many Christians are going to be touched by the flame of God's glory. They're going to respond by the grace of, to the grace of God. And people will get born again. People will get stirred up. But some awaken. While some are awakening, many go to sleep and fall away into heresy. That also is going on. Because when God is moving, the devil is also moving in his best attempt. And some people will give place to the devil. The Bible says give no place to the devil, but some of them will. Some of them will fall away. Some of them will turn away. Some of them will apostatize. Some of them will buy into the Antichrist beast system of the world and Satan's system of darkness. They will join it. Or they will still think they're a Christian, but it'll be under the control of religious spirits. But the church will move out more and more into the world, and the world will see a living God in the church. Just like in the early church, they saw a living God in the early church. Amen. Now, I've seen this since the beginning of the scamdemic, and I believe we'll see it more because more scamdemic is coming, according to everything that we've been hearing. They're going to try to get away with more of it. They have a new variant, right, they're talking about. Not as bad as the first one, but or the last one, but still, they're going to try to just keep on doing their wickedness. But now it's a stirring and a shaking, and you, if you're willing and obedient, you'll be changed. You'll begin to eat the good of God's land. I believe it. And it'll get more and more the hungrier you are. It just depends on your level of hunger, of how far you're going to go with Jesus. A little bit of hunger, a little ways. A lot of hunger, long ways. It's up to you, the level of God which you decide to have in your life. Isaiah 1:19. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Yeah. Yet many Christians would say, it's too much, it's too much. And they'll walk away or they'll be a false Christian. Yeah. So I want to give you some more keys tonight, but I want to give some keys to walking with Jesus in him during this time that we live in and this and how the Spirit of God will move. One of the words of this time is to deny yourself, not to exalt self like the religious spirit would have you do, exalting self, but no, deny self, as it says in Matthew 16. Let's go read that. We don't want to exalt self. A religious spirit will have you exalt self and really deny God. But that this is not the same. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. So that's some pretty powerful statement there, isn't it? Certainly is. So it's a time to trade your life for his life. It's not I that live, but Christ, right? And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, right? So maybe you need to lay your ideas and your plans down. Throw them down, like Moses did. He was used to his staff, you know, the shepherd's staff. You know, he threw his staff down, his rod down, and watch God tell you, pick it up supernaturally. He give you his instructions and plans for your life. Because when Moses picked it up, it was a snake, and as soon as he picked it up, it turned it back to his rod, and God used that rod to bring supernatural manifestations of God. And if you don't consider yourself dead to self, you'll always have your plans ahead of God's plans. And we don't need our plans ahead of God's plans. What is God's plan? Let's go with that. Let's go with that. It's time, the next thing is it's time to take our eyes off our feelings and our thoughts, whether they're wrong or they're hurt or they're good or they're bad. We need to realize that they are not the thoughts of God. And if they're ours, and that if ours, then if they're ours, they need to be cast down and pulled down, maybe even as a stronghold, because they might be demonic in origin. Our way is not the best way. God's way is the best way. We have to always remember that God's way is better than our way, right? It's not our way is the best way. It's God's way is the best way. And a lot of times we don't want to hear anything but our way. But how many know that our way is often tainted by devils? Look at Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, pretty powerful, huh? A lot of what you've been dwelling on is wrong. It's rooted and grounded in the flesh. And the flesh can only bring forth flesh, because all things produce after their own kind. Your flesh isn't going to produce that which is spiritual, because it cannot do that. It brings forth after its own kind. The flesh produces the flesh. The spirit produces the spirit. The end of the works of the flesh is death. We must put the flesh to death and its rulership over our life. Number three, it's time to practice and meditate on the presence of God. To be filled with the presence of God. Meditate on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. Think on the things of the Spirit. Focus on the things of the Spirit. What is your main primary focus in this life? Is it Jesus or is it something else? 5:18 of Ephesians says here, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be filled to overflowing. It's time to sing, to rejoice, to dance before the Lord, to come and rejoice in God and to clap and be thankful, be filled with the Spirit, joy. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. I mean, it's a time to assemble together, to worship, to praise, even to 6 or 7 days a week if need be. Hey, really? You mean we would be in God's presence 6 or 7 days a week? I don't know how I'd ever do that. I'm so busy. Hey, we need to have such a hunger for God that we no longer care about how long it takes to be with God or how long the service is. Or, hey, this is 2 hours long. This is longer than, an average church service would have been in our church. See, we're going 2 hours here. The average church service today is an hour or less. Our church service was in our church with an hour to hour and a half to 2 hours, okay? But still, we see things differently today. We don't want to spend any more time than we have to. We're not hungry enough. We need to be more hungry for the things of the Lord. See? So, hey, it's a time. We need to have such a hunger for God today. God is moving where he's allowed to move. You don't allow him to move, he's not going to move much for you. Hey, you don't need all this personal time that you think you need. You need more time with God than you need of any time. The next one is time to purge yourself of bad habits, and bad attitudes and bad behaviors in our lives. And, of course, of the religious spirit, that's a bad thing to have in your life. And some things, if you've just lived in for so long, you thought, well, it's just me. It's just the way I am. No, they are devils, and you need to get that junk out of you. You need to get out of agreement with it. Get it out. Amen. I mean, it's a time to wash our mind by the water of the washing of the Word of God and get the needed deliverance, the children's bread, to partake of the children's bread that it's necessary to take partake of to get rid of that stuff that's just in there causing you problems in your life. Ephesians 5:26 tells us something here, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. He's talking about the church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish before God. Hey, that's what we are. We're a church holy and without blemish. By the blood of Jesus, we can stand before God, but let's be that glorious church by the power of the Spirit living in us. See, I believe the Lord is going to help the church, and he's helping us right now. But if you're all hedged in, round about you by, you know, the same thing the world has hedged themselves in with, well, it's going to be difficult for him to get through. It's going to be difficult for him to be getting through to you. You need to break out of being hedged in by the same thing the world is hedged in by. Break out of that mold and away from that worldly stronghold and run to the rock, run to Jesus. He will work for you. Healing your insecurity, pouring out his balm of healing on your emotional instabilities and hurts and wounds. He will pour out his balm of healing. He'll make you stable. He'll make you upright. Amen. He'll deal with those unbelieving, faithless attitudes. They have to go. And then finally, it's time to guard your mind and your mouth. Guard your mind and your mouth. A lot of people, they don't have any guard over their mind or their mouth. See, and therefore all kinds of things spew out of their mouth and all kinds of things are allowed to go on in their mind that is not healthy for their mind, not good for them to be thinking or allowing to go take place in their mind. You got to subdue your mind to the Christ, to Jesus and to the Word of God, by the Word of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is how you subdue your mind too, by forcing it by the power of the Spirit to think on these things, things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely. Things that are of good report. That's the same thing that ought to be coming out of your mouth too. Same thing that ought to be coming out of our mouth. Regardless of what you're doing, think on these things. Regardless of what you're going through, think on these things. Regardless of what you're facing, think on these things. By doing so, you'll bring your soul under subjection to your spirit and to the mind of Christ, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You'll not be controlled by the lust of your flesh. You can't be wise and just say anything you want to as a Christian. No, we need a this disciplined tongue. We need to disciple our tongue and do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says no man can tame that tongue, no man, no woman. Now, you know why it said no man can tame the tongue? Because only women can tame the tongue, right? No, that's a joke. No, it's no human being can tame the tongue. And you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to tame the tongue. So the tongue needs to be subdued by the Spirit. You need to let the Spirit of God begin to manifest strongly in your life. Yeah, a lot of people, their tongue talks them out of miracles and a move of God in their lives. Their tongue talks them out of getting their miracle. Tongue talks them out of doing anything by the power of the Spirit and keeps them in fear. Their tongue talks them out. Don't let that tongue do that, because, hey, there are deceiving spirits that are working to get you to say things that are out of alignment with the Word of God. Strong deceiving spirits working overtime to penetrate your armor too. If you allow that to take place, don't let these spirits penetrate the armor. Keep that armor on all the time. Never take it off. The armor of God. I don't put it on every morning. I never took it off last night, so I didn't have to put it back on, because it stayed on all night, because the battle is even in the evening. when you're sleeping, the battle is there, and you need to have your armor on all the time. Isaiah 42:13, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. God is going to roar against his enemies, and we're going to hear it. The roar of God in the hour that we're living in. It's not all being won by the devil. It looks bad in the natural, but hey, we're going to hear the roar of God. God is speaking today. He is. He's roaring even. And the earth has Almighty One, the one that he is, a mighty God, a mighty warrior. He is going to roar in these latter days. It's like he has roared throughout history. His story. So it should just make us bolder, folks, because we know the enemy is intimidated right now by the church, by you and I, by the soldiers of the cross. He's intimidated by you. He's intimidated by me. Hey, it's not going to be easy for him to prevail against the church. And it may look at times like he is prevailing against the church, and to some degree, he might be allowed to prevail, but, you know, a lot of it is going to be up to the church, too, whether they walk in their full authority or whether they bow the knee to the devil and let him have his way. And a lot of Christians are bowing their knee today, and they shouldn't be. They just bow down to whatever the law of the land is, whatever they tell them to do, whatever ungodly leftist, antichrist, baby-killing thing they say. And we don't want to be a part of that. No, we love life. We love those little babies. We love people. And we love God, most importantly. And we're going to get through this by the grace of God, folks. We're going to keep on going on by the grace of God. God is greater than this devil in the world system of darkness and lies. And we are end-time overcomers, and we prevail, saints. We prevail, and we need to have the mentality of one who prevails. We need to have the mentality of one who overcomes. We are overcomers, and we will overcome in this hour that we live in, because that's what we've been called to do. God called us to be end-time overcomers. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of a testimony. Amen? See, we've got to remember that we do overcome. Satan doesn't overcome. We overcome. Satan's a liar. He's the God of this world. He's the devil. He's the defeated one. He was defeated openly 2,000 years ago. And we prevail in Christ Jesus. We prevail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to get your hallelujahs going again. You get those praise the Lord's coming out of your mouth again. Quit all that grumbling and griping and poor me and how bad you have it. And start rejoicing in the Lord again. Amen. You could do all things with Christ who strengthens you. Don't listen to the lie. Don't listen to the devil when he comes in and giving you these line of garbage that he tried to lay on you and make you believe and get in agreement with him. Don't get in agreement with demons. Get in agreement with the Lord. Get in agreement with the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is. The enemy got no greater weapon than the word of God. He has nothing in comparison to the word of God. So our weapons are mighty through God that are pulling down of strongholds. Amen. So start pulling down some strongholds, saints. Amen. In Jesus' name, do it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we pull down the strongholds in your life right now. We come against those strongholds. We come against that stronghold of hurt and pain and misery and whatever the enemy's done to subdue you and hedge you in with. The ungodly things of this world that he tried to hedge you in with. We come against that in Jesus' name. We break its power over you. We break its control over you in the name of Jesus. We pull down those strongholds in Jesus' name. We pull down the strongholds over this country right now in Jesus' name. And we declare the word of God shall prevail in America. We declare that these wicked people who are planning out all these evil things against the people of this land, that they will fail in Jesus' name and they will fall in the name of Jesus. And they will be brought under subjection to the Lord God Almighty, and they will not win. Satanists will not win in Jesus' name. All these people who are claiming to be Satanists and coming out of the closets, and these movie stars who come out of the closet recently. Lord, will awaken these people that they're on the losing team and they have no way to win against the righteous. They will not prevail. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for this word tonight and thank you for deliverance here in a few moments as we go to deliverance session time. And we praise you for delivering people today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Everybody say amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. As long as we live, we will follow Jesus. We will be his servant. We will honor him. Amen. We will lift up Jesus all the days of our lives. Amen. Amen. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go ahead and do some ministry time here with deliverance. As we face this spirit and command it to go, Maybe it was inherited. Maybe you inherit a religious spirit. Maybe you were part of a denomination that was loaded with religious spirits and you picked one up through your denomination. Maybe you picked it up as a child attending a particular church in a particular group or denomination. So we just command the religious spirits, the power of these religious spirits to be broken, the control of these religious spirits to be broken over you and to come out right now, all the way out, all that control by religious spirits, we command that to come out too, the spirit of control by religious spirits. Just like the Pharisees were controlled by religious spirits, we command the control spirit to go right now. They're controlled by religious spirit to come out of there, all the way out in Jesus' name right now. Come out. Let them go. Take a few coughs. Let them go all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Controlled by a religious spirit, come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. All the way. Keep coming out on this 7/22/22. Come out. You have to go all the way out. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All religious spirit. We break the control of those religious spirit. We break the curses of religious spirit. Generational religious spirit. Inherited family line religious spirits that have stayed in the family line for many years. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 out, 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 out of there, all the way out. We bind you, we break your control over people right now. You come out of there, out of there, out of there, out of there, all the way out of there, out, 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 all the way out. Come out, all those religious spirits. We break the control of those religious spirits over you. In Jesus' name, those spirits of lies, religious pride, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Religious pride all the way out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. All that religious pride, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. Spiritual pride, religious pride, all the way out of there, all the way. Keep coming out. Keep coming out in Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you, and you have to loose them and loose them and loose them and let them go. All those religious spirits, come out. Come out. Those Babylonian spirits, those Babylonian religious spirits, you come out too. Babylonian religious spirits, come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. Babylonian religious spirits, come out, come out, come out. Spirits of confusion, that's what Babylon means. Confusion, try to confuse you about your walk with God. Confusion, come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep coming out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Up and out, 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 up and out of there. Come out, 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 come out. All confusion, come out. Come out, come out. Come out of there. Up and out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Come out. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. If some such turn away. Yeah, they have a form of godliness. How many know the government puts on this form of godliness? For years they've done that, put on a form of godliness, but they denied the true power because the true power sure wasn't there, wasn't allowed to rule this nation, hasn't been allowed to rule the land. No, 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 no. There was a form. In other words, there was a religious spirit ruling, and it was having its way when they got that religious thing going. But God wasn't allowed to, you know, rule the land like he wanted to rule the land. Keep coming out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus against you, demon, all the way. Religious mind control, you come out. Religious mind control, come out of there, all the way out. Religious mind control spirits, come out, come out, come out. come out. Religious mind control, you have to go all the way out. All the way out. Go, go, go. Religious hindering spirits, come out, come out. They're hindering you. Come out, come out, come out. Those religious spirits that hinder you, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against you. Come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, we just break any curses from those who laid hands on you that they had unclean hands. Yeah, we break that curses from any transference of spirit. We command them to go back where they came from. If they came from unclean hands, someone had been doing unclean and had a bunch of devils, and yet they were laying hands on people and praying for people, and there's a lot of people that do that. They've got a lot of stuff they're going on. They're not been delivered. They haven't had any deliverance at all, some of them. And yet they're laying hands on all these people, and there's possible transference of spirits. So we break any curses from those who laid hands on you. And any spirits that came in that are demonic spirits, they have to go right now in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Go, go, out of there, all the way out, all the way out. All the way up out of there in the name of Jesus Christ right now. You have to go. Have to go all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Spirits that cause you to break down mentally and emotionally, we command those breakdown spirits to go all the way out. All the way out. All the way out of there. Go. Spirits that cause you to have mental breakdowns, come out. Mental breakdowns, emotional breakdowns, come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name right now. Go. All those spirits of breakdown, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there, all the way out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. All those lies, the spirit of lies that you have believed, those that are clinging to you, the lying spirits that cling, we command you to go. We break and expose those lies. We break the control of those lies. We command them to be exposed to the light, and that people will see that they've been believing a lie in Jesus' name. You got to go right now. Got to go. Got to go. Got to come out. 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 All the way out. In Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way, go. Those religious hindering spirits that have hindered you from moving forward in God, those religious blockades, you come out of there right now. Religious blockade, religious blockages, we command them to go in Jesus' name. Religious blockages, you come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, come out, 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 come 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 out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, go in Jesus' name, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way in Jesus' name. You have to go. You're defeated by the blood of Jesus right now. The blood is against you. The angels of the Lord are sorting you right now with their swords. You have to come out. But now, all that self-hatred, you come out, self-hatred, religious spirits who called you to hate yourself, all that self-hatred, that self-blaming spirit, you come out, come out, come out, self-hatred, self-blame, come out, come out, come out, come out, the self-condemnation, come out, 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 all the way out. That self-focus, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. That self-focused spirit always focusing on you, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That guilt, all that guilt, I rebuke the spirit of guilt right now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out, come out, guilt, all the way out. All that guilty spirit, tormenting guilt, come out, come out. That shame. That shame, you were told maybe growing up you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I know my mother told me that. I had to break the curse of those statements over me. But, yeah, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Look what you've done. If so-and-so would never do that. Lord, we command that shame to go right now. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way. We break the curse of shame. We break the curse of being told you ought to be ashamed of yourself. We cancel the assignment of that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, command us to go right now. Every one of them, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come all the way out. All that shame, all that remorse, that sense of remorse, being beat by remorse, you come out. That spirit of remorse, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, it's amazing the snares that have been put on people through people's tongues as they have spoken things over you growing up. You know, they have spoken curses over you. They've spoken, even parents that love you have said things like that. I gave an example of my mother used to say, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for doing that, you know. And maybe your parents have said something, you know, like that, or compared you with somebody else that they don't do that, or some type of situation, or your father, you know, always looked down on you because you were born a girl instead of a guy, or the opposite, a guy instead of a girl, or your mother, you know, wanted a boy and she got a girl, or wanted a guy and she got a gal, you know, whatever it is. We break the power of those words that were spoken. We break the power of those negative things that were desired, and that there was rejection that took place over it. We cancel those assignments of demons against you right now in the name of Jesus, and we command them spirits to go in the name of Jesus. Every one of them, come out, 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 out. Those spirits have to go right now in the name of Jesus. Come out, out of there, all the way out, 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 all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. Come out, 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 come out. Breathe them out right now. Just breathe them out. Yawn them out. Cough them out. Let them go all the way out. Go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. Maybe you've gone through a divorce and there's a divorce spirit, or maybe the devil trying to get you to get a divorce. There's a divorce spirit working against you right now. We come against that spirit of divorce. We command it to go in Jesus' name. Come out, come out. Spirit of divorce, you got to go right now in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. All that spirit of divorce. We break the power of the spirit of divorce right now. Come out. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. Spirit of divorce, marriage breaking, divorce spirits, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up and out of there in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All the way, all that spirit that told you you're not good enough, a religious spirit will tell you you're not good enough. You need to try harder, you be better, do more, come out. All that spirit is not good enough, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. All that fear of what people think. Fear of what people think about you so you won't witness. Come out of there. All that fear of what people are going to think. What are they going to think of me if I share Jesus with them? They're going to reject me. They're going to not like me. What are they going to think of me? I can't say anything. They might reject me. They might not like me anymore. Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out. 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 Keep coming out of there, up and out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Move in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, got to go right now. Got to go, got to go, got to go right now, demons. You have to. You have to obey. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus right now and go. Be weakened by the blood of Jesus right now and come out of there. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. That boasting spirit, you come out. That boasting spirit, boasting, braggadocious, come out, all the way out. That boasting, braggadocious spirit, come out, come out, come out, bragging, boasting, come out, 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 Come out all the way out. That boasting, braggadocious spirit, come out all the way out. You got to go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. Infirmity of the flesh, you come out. Spirit of infirmity, spirit of physical weakness, physical sickness, come out. Come on, all that infirmity. Come on, physical infirmity. We break the curse of the physical infirmities. You come out. Come out of the body right now. Come out of the body. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Command it to come out of your body right now in Jesus' name. Those physical infirmities, sickness, disease, cancers, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Organ problems, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All those infirm spirits, spirits of the infirmed. The infirm spirits, come out. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out now. Come out now. Come out now. Come out. All the way out. Go, go, go. Go. All the way out. In the name of Jesus, go. All the way out. Up and out. Up and out. All the way. Come out. 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 Go all the way out. Jesus' name, I bind you. You come out, all that infirmity, sickness, disease, curse. We break the curse of being sickly. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, sickly spirit. Got to go, all those sickly spirits, being sick all the time, having physical infirmities all the time. We break that bad health spirit, that spirit of bad health, the family line bad health over you. Come out. Come out, diabetes, come out, come out, come out, heart trouble, come out, come out, come out, clogged arteries, come out, come out, come out, but cardiovascular disease, come out, in Jesus' name, go, 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 all the way out now, move in Jesus' name, move in Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you, I rebuke you, come out in the name of Jesus, go, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Keep moving out. Up and out. I bind you. Break your control over people's bodies right now. In Jesus' name. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. He bore your sicknesses and infirmities in his own body. By his stripes, you were. And we just release the healing power of Jesus right now into your body. Right now. Into your body. Against that whatever it is that has tried to manifest itself and get you sick or get you infirm. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Release Jesus' healing power right now, right now. Touch your body in that place and just let the power of God go in there right now. Right now, the blood of Jesus healing be released right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we've cast the spirits out now. Healing be released. Healing be released in Jesus' name. Just touch that area of your body and let healing flow right now. The flowing of healing into your body right now. Just let it flow from heaven. Let it flow by the Holy Spirit, by the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. The life is of the blood. We apply the blood over that area of your body. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus right now. Be healed, be healed, be healed, be whole, be healed, be whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord God Almighty. Praise you, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing and deliverance tonight, Father. Seal this deliverance that we have received. We appreciate it. And thank you for every listener and bless them tonight. Minister to them in their sleep as they lay upon their bed, Father, that you would minister your love to them in the area of their life where they need it, Father. In Jesus' name, bless them. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right. Good being with you folks tonight. Love you. And we'll see you back next Friday night. Same time. So you have a good weekend. And you be filled with the Lord. Just get yourself full and stay full. Amen. Just stay full of Jesus all the time. That's what we want. Just have more and more of him all the rest of our lives as we glorify his name. Amen. All right. Well, good night, folks. And thank you again for being here. for the program tonight, as we shared, and for the service. We should call it a service because it's a program, not the best word to call it, I don't think. All right, good night. Heart belongs to you. That's the name of that song, and that is so true. My heart belongs to him. My spirit belongs to him. And so I'm thankful to be a Christian. Are you thankful tonight? I'm thankful, and hey, the Lord will have his way with you. Believe me.
You just keep on yielding yourself to him, and he will have his way with you. And you'll be pleased with that way, because God only has our best in mind. He loves us so sincerely and truly. And it's wonderful to be owned by the master of the universe, to be one of his very own. I wouldn't want to be on the outside of the family of God. I'll tell you that. I wouldn't want to be in the family of Satan, would you? And God knows who you are. You're engraved on the palm of his hand. He's taking you wherever he goes, and he's never going to forget you. So your needs are important to him, and what your prayers, as long as they're lining up with the word, they're being heard by the master too. So praise God. Let's just turn it over to the Lord as we continue to live in his presence forever. All right, God bless you. Love you tonight. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next Friday.